Okay, let's take our Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 4. We want to finish what we started last Sunday evening, and that was what we call Christian adoption. And in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, Paul explains Christian adoption. Last Sunday evening, we looked at the first two points of this message, and they are the preparation for our adoption, which is seen in verses 1 through 3. Now I say that, Galatians chapter 4, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, the preparation for our adoption. And then point two is the procedure for our adoption. Verses 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This evening, as I've indicated, I want to finish this study of Christian adoption by looking at point number 3, the proof of our adoption, and point number 4, the possessions we have because of our adoption. The proof of our adoption is found in verse 6, and we read, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." A human father, as you well understand, cannot give his DNA, his own nature, to an adopted child. But God can, and I think this is so marvelous, God can and does give his nature, the essence of who he is, to those who believe in him. Which is a confirmation, which is proof that we are sons of God, that we have been adopted into his family. When we are in Christ, we take on his nature. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Think about that. We take on the very nature of God. I think of Paul's description of this adoption process in Ephesians chapter 1. You'll turn there, please, looking at verses 3 through 5. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be," and here's his nature, "that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." God did not have to be forced to adopt us. It was his good will, the pleasure of his good will. And the facilitator of this work of grace is the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the results of God's Spirit at work in saving us and then sealing us and then sanctifying us through the Word is evident in our relationship to God the Father, seen in the statement, turning back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, seen in the statement, "And because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The facilitator of our life in Christ, "but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We call God the Father, Abba, Father. And what a proof that we are adopted into God's family. As I previously said, Abba is a diminutive of the Aramaic word for father. It was a term of endearment used by children of their fathers and could be translated daddy or papa, which all declares that the Holy Spirit brings us into a personal, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, whom we can approach at any time and under any circumstance, knowing that He will always hear and lovingly care for us. As the writer of Hebrews tells us, perhaps it is Paul, Hebrews chapter 4, we can come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a Father that's always there to minister, to meet our needs. He is the ultimate in servants. He is our helper. He seeks to help us, to care for us. And after all, we truly belong to Him. We are family. He is our Father. We have, by the way, imperfect love. You know, sometimes with your children, you could hug them, and then sometimes you just want to take a switch to them. Amen? Even then, we love. Even during those times, we love our children. And we want to do whatever we can for them. Well, with our imperfect love, I see what I want to do for my children. But what about God the Father's perfect love towards us? We truly belong to Him. We are family. He is our Father, and He loves you and me. You know, it really helps to get through the day when you know you're loved. And when you feel like you're having a bad day, just know God, your Heavenly Father, loves you. And so in summary, those of us who are sons of God, adopted into God's family, and I trust all of us are, experience the essence and have assurance of that grace through the Holy Spirit, who draws us into an intimate communion with our Heavenly Father. Think about it. We can actually talk, commune, share our burdens, our needs, the brokenness of our hearts with the God of the universe. And thus we cry, Abba, Father. I love how Warren Wiersbe summarizes verse 6. He says, number one, the Son has the same nature as the Father, but the servant does not. Number two, the Son has a Father while the servant has a Master. There's a difference between a Father and a Master. Number three, the Son obeys out of love while the servant obeys out of fear. And number four, the Son is rich while the servant is poor. Which brings us to our last point of this message, and that is the possessions we have as adopted children. Notice back in Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant. We just talked about what a servant's life is like. Thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Which all states, because we are now in the Son, we ourselves are sons. And since we are sons, then we are heirs of God. Adoption means sonship, and sonship means heirship. Paul writes back in Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Which means we have a future. We have a glorious future. While a servant and a slave has no future. Peter describes this future in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Part of our inheritance, our hope, is the redemption of our bodies. As seen in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, where we read, "And not only so, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." You know, as you get older, that verse becomes more precious, doesn't it? It becomes more special. You know, when we're young and in our prime, as I talked about this morning, when you feel like that Italian stallion and you can run through walls, you know, no big deal. But I'm thankful for, I'm thankful that God is reminding me that there's a better body coming. A redeemed body, a glorified body, a body that doesn't have a bad hip. Amen? The redemption of our bodies. And when will this redemption take place? Well, 1 John chapter 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And so what truth we have here, but incomprehensible truth we have, that declares when our faith is in Christ, when our faith is in Christ, we don't have to keep a law, a bunch of laws. We don't have to keep holy days and Sabbaths. When our faith, childlike faith, is in Christ, we are adopted into God's family. And because we are sons, God gives us everything his son possesses. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't feel very wealthy." I don't either. But one day, whatever the Son of God inherits, you and I, as sons of God, will inherit as well. It's all by God's grace. Paul's explanation of adoption, the preparation for adoption, the procedure for adoption, the proof of our adoption, the possessions of our adoption. Thank God that we are sons of God, sons and daughters of God.